Well, it's been a very hectic trip, packed full of meetings, but it was a good opportunity. We met both the leaders on the Palestinian side as well as on the Israeli side. And we were able to engage candidly, robustly, frankly, and both at very senior levels, as well, particularly on the Israeli side, reflecting the diversity of political opinion in Israeli society. I think the first thing is that everyone is encouraged that the ceasefire, fragile as it is still holding. That's absolutely critical, because without that, progress can't be made. The second point is the glimmer of hope is that humanitarian assistance is increasing. The volume of deliveries have increased, although I think everyone still feels that there's a need to increase the volume even more significantly. But I see no reason why this will not happen within the next few days. So that's the second point. The third point is that the diplomatic activities now are shifting to New York because of the draft United Nations Security Council resolution. This is important because it puts the stamp of approval of the United Nations and therefore has the stamp of international law behind it. So it is not just a bilateral or a multilateral agreement, but one with the UN backing behind it. This puts it on a much surer footing for progress. Specifically for our discussions with the leaders on both sides, the Palestinian leaders are grateful for our continued engagement, for the fact that we have been steadfast in our support for the capacity-building efforts of the Palestinian Authority. Over 800 officials have spent time with us in Singapore over the years. They look forward to, in fact, accelerating this pace of capacity building, even as they prepare for eventual statehood. Second, the fact that we provided support to the World Food Programme, and this is over and above the repeated tranches of humanitarian assistance that Singaporeans have provided to the Palestinian civilians in Gaza over the past 2 years. First is they want me to say a big thank you to Singaporeans for our generosity. Second, we look forward to doing more in a customized and tailor-made fashion to provide assistance that meets the needs of civilians in Gaza. Longer term, there's going to be a need for enormous needs for reconstruction. And in our own small, modest way, we will look for opportunities for Singapore to contribute to reconstruction efforts. And of course, for the longer term, they look forward to eventual statehood of Palestine. And that means a negotiated two-state solution consistent with the UN Security Council resolutions. And in particular, what came across very clearly from the Palestinian leaders, which I conveyed to the Israelis, that there is a need for direct engagement and face-to-face negotiations, even as both Palestinian leaders and Israeli leaders contemplate the future. Because being stuck in this repeated cycles of violence is not productive. And as we have seen in the last 2 years, has horrendous consequences on human suffering. And the lack of hope which people, and especially the younger generation in Palestine, need. So anyway, it was a good set of discussions in Palestine. The last 2 days we've been here in Jerusalem and have engaged, as I said, across the wide diversity of political opinion in Israel. First, the common points. The common points first are that everyone is relieved, the ceasefire is holding. We've conveyed to the Israelis that we really need to have a significant surge in humanitarian assistance. There should be no reason for any Palestinian in Gaza to be short of food or to be denied access or have any restriction on access to medical care. And specifically, again, in our own way, if we can contribute to this humanitarian and medical services, we would step up. And I've conveyed that to the Israelis as well. I've also conveyed to the Israeli leaders the need for engagement and the fact that the Palestinian leaders in the Palestinian Authority actually do look forward to this engagement. And of course, I've also reiterated our long-standing belief that the only viable way to achieve a just and durable solution is a negotiated two-state solution. The Israeli leaders know that there's a long and difficult journey ahead. But there is also a consciousness that you can't just keep repeating these cycles of failure and violence. And they're going to need support from the international community, from the United Nations. And, of course, for this specific crisis, the invaluable role played by President Trump and his 20-point plan and the way it will be implemented through a United Nations Security Council resolution. But these are still only initial steps. They're still a very, very long journey. Basically, if you look at the situation from the perspective of the people, the suffering civilians in Gaza, even the Palestinians in the West Bank, who are still waiting for a state, who are waiting for a future with hope and potential, there needs to be progress in which the two peoples find a way to coexist in peace, dignity, and security. On the Israeli side, you cannot underestimate the shock and trauma that 7th of October conveyed or imposed on the Israeli people. And it's not over yet. So they're desperate need for assurance of security is still very, very sharp. And it will take time for the raw emotions on both sides, both peoples who have suffered, to get over the initial trauma and then realize that ultimately the only way forward is reconciliation and to build a common future together where they coexist as two peoples sharing this land or making the necessary arrangements so that they can continue to live in peace and dignity. I want to make the point that Singapore is a tiny city-state. We are 8,000 kilometers away from here. Our political, our social circumstances are vastly different from here. Nevertheless, the fact that we've had good relations with both sides for a long time, we have been successful in creating a cohesive, multiracial, multireligious society where our diversity is a strength and not a source of division, where we've been able to achieve economic and social progress for everyone. Actually, it does serve as a beacon for the societies down here. But we should also be humble enough to understand that nothing we say or do will alter the course of history here. But to the extent that our deep engagement with both societies, Palestinian and Israeli, our support, our expression of humanitarian compassion, you know, and every life that we can save, every livelihood that we can elevate is still a worthwhile exercise. And my fellow members of parliament who've been with me on this trip, I'm sure will echo this fact that we have been welcomed here by both sides, and they are grateful to Singaporeans for our support. and we depart with gratitude for what we have in Singapore and with hopes for the people of Palestine and Israel for a future defined by peace, dignity and security.
Morning's meetings in particular,
yes.
Discussions, were it the same?
No, this morning, well, this morning was with the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister. I would characterize this as very candid, very frank exchanges, because clearly we have some differences of views with Israel. But at the same time, because of our long-standing relationship, I was able to convey these differences, you know, candidly, frankly, robustly, but still constructively. I was here in March last year. I think the circumstances were quite different. The war was in full, you know, full bloom in March last year. Now, this is a time of ceasefire. The zeitgeist is significantly different. The Israeli leaders now have bit more bandwidth to think beyond the urgent and the immediate pressures of the war, to think, take a longer-term strategic perspective. And coming from outside the region and coming even with difference of views, but difference of views based on wishing the best for both Israelis and Palestinians, I think these were very good conversations, and I believe both the Prime Minister and Foreign Minister of Israel appreciated this. And I believe this is the way we need to continue to conduct diplomacy. Keep our lines open, be true to our principles, be able to express it constructively, positively, and to keep having a positive agenda. And actually, this part of the world has significant strategic interests in Southeast Asia to the Pacific. And Singapore is still viewed as a critical portal to the emerging strategic opportunities in our part of the world, and therefore also providing opportunities for the Middle East. So it was useful, and as I said, you know, it's more valuable when it is you are not held back from being able to express your views frankly and candidly.
But how did the Israeli leaders actually react to the
fact? No, they know that. I mean, I've met them on several occasions. Well, Foreign Minister is the first time I'm meeting him, but certainly the Prime Minister I've met on several occasions. So they know that we have a unique relationship, but they know that we also have our own views. They accept it in good grace. And I keep making the point that it is possible to have a relationship based on trust, and that does not mean that we have to agree onto everything. And in fact, when partners are able to express and constructively engage differences, that's when you can also look for new opportunities and for progress. Basically, if I compare today to March 24, I'm just that significantly more hopeful. All wars need to end, and they end not on the battlefield but at the negotiating table. But remember, at the end of it all, beyond the weapons, beyond the talk, is real-life people just hoping for opportunities, hoping for future, and wanting to stay safe, and wanting to have the dignity. And the Israelis know that Singapore has always stood for the self-determination and the right of the Palestinians to a homeland of their own. So bottom line, I'm a bit more hopeful. Mm-hmm.